the choice that you will make will not be just as a lost person. Even after you get saved, you've got to make the choice almost daily to serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. It's the greatest choice you can ever make. We're going to talk tonight about the passing of Christmas. Now you might think that I'll get into, boy, Debbie, I tell you, that song got me tonight.
So powerful.
I'm not going to get into the details of what I believe the world is trying to do to Christmas, but I will get into the details of what the world did to Christmas. You can go back to the night that Mary and the stepdaddy Joseph left on embarking on a journey that I guarantee you they would never ever forget. We're going to start the service out with prayer tonight, and I'm going to do my best to keep you as long as the Holy Spirit will allow. I won't go longer than that, but I don't know when that's going to be. So let's start out with prayer tonight, if you would let me do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we can never, ever, with our lips, thank you enough for choosing us. Oh God, you did not have to come here. God, you could have stayed in heaven and been praised for eternity. But you chose wretched, dirty sinners like us. Left your royal throne in the holiest of holies and came here to this place. Thank you, God, for doing that. Because without that wonderful, wonderful birth, there could be no miraculous death and no miracle of salvation that we cling to today. God, bless these people. Lord, let them not forget what Christmas is truly about. Lord, be with us tonight. As always, my prayer, Lord, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything tonight through this message. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read one verse. If you'll stand together with me, get your legs stretched for a moment. In Luke chapter 2, I brought some of this thought to the chapel service, the last chapel service of the year for Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. We talked about Jesus on that day. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray again. Brother Mark Thompson, could you open us in prayer, please.
Father in heaven, we love you tonight. Father, we can't say thank you enough for Jesus. You've shown the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate love that any man could know. As we give our gifts on this holiday time, Lord, help us to remember what the true gift was of you sending your only begotten Son to a sin-cursed world, loving us beyond imagination, beyond measure.
Yes.
Thank you for that little baby Jesus that is no longer a little baby, but now he's a reigning king.
Yes.
God, we thank you for the sacrifice you made those many years ago, the sacrifice he made those many years ago. Train our hearts now toward wisdom, and Holy Spirit, fill this preacher with thy power.
Please.
And open our hearts. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 1 in chapter 2 says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I don't think that decree has ever been rescinded. If you know anything about the world today, we are still getting taxed, that's for sure. They left the city of Nazareth and embarked on a 65-mile journey. This journey took them through country that was certainly rather rough. This journey took them day and night. They didn't go like in a car, 65 miles, were there in an hour, some of you in 30 minutes. They went on this journey on foot or with a mule or something of that nature. They went on this journey. They had to pack with them lots and lots of supplies. This journey, I'm sure, would take them days. It was a journey that would certainly be wrought with danger. There certainly were folks along the way waiting to take things from them that they would have and certainly would want to take rest and take shelter, as in those days I'm sure it was very common to rest inside of a tent or something of that nature along the way. I'm quite sure that they stopped along the way and had meals and things like that outside in the dust. I'm quite sure there wasn't a Chi-Chi's and a Carrabba's along the way, but if there was, glory to God, amen. They certainly didn't bring meatloaf with them, I will tell you that for sure. On this journey, though, they took this journey and they had a destination that they were going to, as I said before, about 65 miles away. I don't know of many people that would walk 65 miles to do much, let alone to go pay taxes. But this journey that they went on, this journey took them to a place, and we've spoken about this over and over and over again. They arrived in the city of Bethlehem, which is where they were scheduled to pay their taxes. They arrived in this city, and I'm sure they stopped in place and place and place and found that there was no room. I'm sure the city was busy with people coming to pay their taxes. I'm sure the city was busy with people arm to arm trying to figure out where they were supposed to go to pay their taxes. I'm sure that people are the same as they are today. They don't know exactly where to go when they need to go places. I'm sure that there wasn't Google MapQuest at that time, and I'm sure that there were things and addresses that maybe got mixed up. But you've got to understand one thing. There are a lot of people in the city of Bethlehem on this night. They go to this inn, and we talk about them having no room in the inn, but I've got to be honest with you, we usually use that derogatory. Well, the world doesn't have any room for them. Well, it's not that the world doesn't have room, the world doesn't make room. Christian, it's not that you don't have room for Christ. You won't make room for Christ. They pull into this inn, no vacancy. Walking into the foyer with this child, she delivers the child, and walking into the foyer with this child, they stand there and ask the innkeeper, "Can we have a room for the night? Got a newborn baby here." Joseph, I'm sure, is pleading his case. I'm sure he's pleading that, listen, there's got to be a place for this lady to stay. She's just had a baby, or she's great with child at this time, and she's got to have a place where she can stay. There's got to be a roof that she can put over top of her head. There's got to be a place, and the innkeeper says to her, "I'm sorry, we don't have any room. Every room is taken. The whole place is filled up." I want to pique your curiosity for a moment. We talk often about Christians not making room. We talk often about Christians and how this time of year gets all caught up in the hustle and bustle. And I understand that this is a time of joy and a time of giving and a time where we open up gifts around the tree and a time that we do things for each other. But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I would to God we'd do things for each other all year long. I would to God we wouldn't ride just on one day of the year. Although this is a great church. Please don't misread me. This is an above average church, far above average, that does things for each other all the time. But Bethel, don't ever lose that. Amen. Don't ever lose the thought of Christ. He lived every day like it was Christmas Day. Amen. He was always giving. Yes. Don't ever lose that, Bethel Baptist Church. I'm so thankful we've got a church that loves each other and cares about each other. Don't ever lose that. If you're visiting here for the very first time, let me explain something to you. You're not, and I know that I'm the associate pastor here, but you're not going to find a better church for people caring about each other than you will right here. Though that's just not blowing smoke. That's the truth. You ask these people that are seated here today, there's somebody that has something done for them from some of these members at one time or another. I promise you, everyone that's sitting in this auditorium today. But can you imagine in the hustle and bustle, walking by the foyer after the Lord just made the choice to come down and take his first breath of earth air, leaving heaven in all its splendor to come to a dusty trail, leaving heaven in all of its glory to come to a place where there's candlelight, moonlight, but not light. Come to a place that had been darkened until he came. Come to a place that literally was not worthy of this king. Yet he came. He comes to this place. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph walking him into the inn? Asking the innkeeper, is there a room? People passing by Mary and Joseph as they walk out to go to the pool for the... I don't know, I'm just joking. Coming forward, they got to do things. There's things going on. They got to go find dinner or whatever's going on. But the people on the inn, there's hustle and bustle there at the inn. People passing by, maybe perhaps bumping Joseph or bumping Mary. Coming so close, and Brother John sang a song. I'm just going to be honest with you. This piqued my curiosity to start thinking about that night. How many were so close to the Savior and yet so far from being saved. They walked into this inn to get a room, and all the people are around. And understand, the city wasn't just packed in that inn. The city was packed. The city was packed from place to place. And as they walked this babe, this child, out to the manger to lay the child in the manger in a stable, I don't know what it looked like. We have thoughts of what it looked like. And there's places that they say he was born in. It looked like more like a cave or whatever it looked like. Does it really matter? He wasn't born in the palace as he ought to have been. He was born in a place that was a stall for animals. He was born in a place where the dogs and the sheep and the pigs and the cows laid. He was born there. Excuse me. In the hustle and bustle of that night, how many people came within 6 inches of the Savior? But they never found him. How many people came within 3 feet of Jesus Christ, the baby that was prophesied would come? How many people did not know that the prophecy existed? Now, you might say, well, Brother Dave, that's stretching it a little bit. I don't believe it is, because in this day and age, I don't believe that the vast majority of the people in America today don't know anything about Christ. I mean, don't know anything for real about Christ. They have these thoughts and imaginations where they put wings on angels, they put halos around their heads. They've got these grand imaginations that the wise men came to Jesus at the manger. The wise men never saw Jesus at the manger. The wise men didn't come till a couple years later. We've got these thoughts of what it was like on that night, but I'm going to be honest with you. The vast majority of what happened on that night, the people didn't even realize what had happened. They didn't even realize the Savior was born. They didn't even realize the Savior had come. Even if the great announcement was there, people passed by our Savior and never recognized who he was. We can bring all the pomp and circumstance that we want, but there's no denying that Jesus Christ came to this earth, my friend, not to have a wonderful birth. He didn't come to this earth to have a dramatic birth. He didn't come to this earth to have great fanfare. He came to this earth, my friend, to die for you. That's why he came. Didn't matter to Christ where he was born. The only thing he had to do was fulfill prophecy of where it would be. Didn't matter to Christ what it looked like. Didn't need strobe lights or Las Vegas Strip to be born. Not my Savior. All my Savior needed was a virgin. All my Savior needed was Bethlehem. And all my Savior needed was a choice. And the choice he made was for you, my friend. And that choice that he made was for me on that night. I want to take you to James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm going to turn to two scriptures. John chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says, "Draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." I want you to look at one more with me in John. John chapter 12. Verse 32, the Bible says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Just give me a little bit of time. This Christmas, I don't want Christmas to pass you. This Christmas, I don't want you to be one that walked in Bethlehem that night. I don't want you to be one that made the trip to pay your taxes. I don't want you to be one that got there that night, yet you did not see the King of Kings. I don't want you to be the one that went there that night and you did not realize what had just happened. Saved people in this room today, if you know the Lord is your Savior, don't let Christmas pass you by. Don't let Christmas pass you by. You say, "Well, I'm saved, brother. I understand that." But don't you let Christmas pass you by. There were people in that town, I bet, that knew the Lord as their Savior. There were people in that town that knew of the prophecy. There were people in that town that knew what was supposed to happen. Yet, even though they knew, they still did not come. I'm going to be honest with you. We've got a lot of folks in the world today that know what's coming, yet we still decide not to show up. We know what's going to happen. We know what Jesus is doing. We know these things, yet we still cease to care. The greatest thing that could ever happen happened on that night. Jesus being born. You say Jesus dying was the best thing. How did he ever get to die unless he was born? A great, great, wonderful, awesome miracle that we all know about. The world knows that he was born of a virgin. The world knows. Yet in the hustle and bustle, they let every Christmas pass them by. They rub shoulders with the Savior, but never get to know him. They walk right past him. Oh, what a cute little child. But they never embrace the child as their king. This Christmas, my friend, this Christmas, saved one in this room, don't let Christmas pass you by. Don't let it pass you by without realizing what has happened for you. You may walk out of this room tonight, and you may never even remember the words that I spoke to you. I can't do anything about that. But I can plead with you not to let Christmas pass you by. Christmas is the greatest time of the year. We turn it into something different than what it really ought to be. We try so desperately to make our children happy. Good luck. Good luck. We try so desperately to make our spouses happy. Men, I don't know how in the world we're ever going to do that. We're the worst picker-outers of ever. We really are. Every man in here would say that. We're just dumb. When it comes to picking out Christmas gifts, we're dumb. Here's this. What is that? And it's because our ears don't work. It's our fault, mind you. Understand this. It's our fault. We always turn these off. What our ladies want, we just turn these off. And then we present them with what we thought they wanted throughout the year. And that's not it. We try so desperately to say that we're not of the world, yet we cannot wait to put ourselves in there. Jesus was born for you. Jesus was born for you. Jesus was born for you so he could die for you. Jesus was born for you so he could die for you so you could accept him as Savior and go to heaven when you die. Can you imagine? We'll forget about Christmas in heaven. Can you imagine how wonderful heaven's going to be? Can I just stop for a moment? See, I love to think about heaven. I love to think about heaven because I cannot wait to get there. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not going to get there. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how much money you've given into play. I don't care what church you attend. That means nothing to going to heaven. All you got to do to go to heaven is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe in the heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Not hard. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I've had lots of people tell me you can't know. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says I can know that I'm going to walk streets of gold someday. We talk about that, but I say this all the time. I'm so excited about heaven. When I get there, I'm still going to be surprised. I'm going to heaven when I die, and then I get there, I'll go, wow, I'm really here. The walls are made of perfect gemstones, perfect. None of those inclusions and garbage you find. I'm talking perfect. No cubic zirconium there. Perfect diamonds. He's going to prepare a mansion for me, not a shack by the track, Jack, a mansion. He's not giving me a shed, brother. He's putting me ahead. I cannot wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get to a place where there's no meatloaf all the day long. How do you know that, Brother Dave? Because there's no sin in heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven and eat the filet mignon. Oh, man, you think steak's good here, my friend. I cannot wait to take a sip out of the crystal sea. I cannot wait to walk where others have trod. I can't wait to go up and say, hey, Paul, are you still wretched? Paul looked me in the eye and said, no, I'm in heaven, my friend. No more wretchedness here. I cannot wait to meet Timothy. I cannot wait to meet Barnabas and say, what was the matter with you that you were fighting with Paul? Dummy, you should have stayed with him. You should have read all the stuff that happened after you left. I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to meet David, the apple of God's eye, and say, I was named after you. And he'll look me right back in the eye and say, you didn't do a very good job. I cannot wait to meet Peter and Moses. Can you imagine meeting Moses? But there's going to be somebody there. Now, you know your saved family is going to be there. That'll be exciting. They'll give you a big hug around the neck. What a great time that'll be, a great reunion. What a wonderful time. But I've got to be honest with you, there's one I'm going to be looking for. There's one I'm going to be looking for that I've never seen. There's one that I'm going to be looking for that I just don't deserve to be in the presence of. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I cannot wait to thank the Lord for being born for me. Can you imagine being able to walk up to Christ and say thank you for Christmas? Can you wait to walk up to Christ and say thank you for being born for me? And I'm so thankful that I went to the church that night that talked about not letting Christmas pass me by. I'm so thankful that I was lost that night. But glory to God, I realized that you came down and died for me. I accepted you as my Savior. And glory to God, Christmas didn't pass me by that night. You've got to understand something. You can't preach Christmas without preaching Easter, Resurrection Day. You can't preach Christmas, His birth, without preaching about His death. Because when one without the other is no good. He came to do both, to die just for you and to die just for me, to give us a wonderful place together, sitting at that table. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Get rid of the old achy bones, the old quarrelsome groans, Get away from all that garbage and come right to heaven someday, sitting next to the person that you probably hate the most. The Lord has a wonderful sense of humor. He'll sit you next to somebody ornery and annoying. And that does not mean every seat will be right next to me. I can see him stand at the head of the table. And I can see him say, "Let's pray." Can you imagine hearing Jesus pray? Me? Thank me for this food. Can you imagine standing in the presence of God, being able to come to him someday and say to him, "Thank you for not passing me by. Thank you for not leaving me behind." Because I'm going to be honest with you. He came to grab a hold of Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson didn't grab a hold of him. He grabbed a hold of Mark Thompson. That wonderful present wrapped in swaddling clothes come down to this earth, giving himself to us. On that arduous journey, that terrible journey, where she went for 65 plus miles, great with child, carrying the Savior, worried to death that something would happen to this great and wonderful birth. She knew what was coming. I imagine she had a little apprehension and a little anticipation as she's taking that arduous journey through the dusty road, walking all the way south down to Bethlehem so that wonderful Savior could be born, trying so desperately to protect her, although I guarantee you he was protecting himself. I can understand that she'd be a little bit scared and a little bit apprehensive about doing what she had to do. But glory to God, that night she did what she had to do. Christ did what he had to do. And because of those things, we've got the wonderful Luke chapter 2 that we can read about, that Jesus was born for us, that later on he would die for us. And he wasn't just born for you. He wasn't just born for me. He was born for everyone. It doesn't matter who they were, where they are, how big, how small, what color. Doesn't matter what they've done, what they're going to do. Glory to God, he was born for you. Don't let Christmas pass you by. I will draw all men unto me. The spirit of the word draw, you got to understand, is this. The spirit of the word draw is not me coming to him. You've got to understand that. You're not going to see somebody drawing themselves to somebody else. What you're going to see is somebody allowing themselves to be drawn. Draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. If you look at that chapter, it speaks about laying off the things of the world and drawing yourself unto Christ. If you lay off the things of the world, you will allow yourself to be drawn. Your flesh doesn't want to get anywhere near Christ. But if you let all of that off and let him draw himself, let him draw you to him, he desperately desires to do that. And then the last part of that verse says, "And I will draw myself to you." If you can lay off the world and let yourself be drawn by Christ, Christ will come unto you, and you're going to desperately want to draw him close to you. The people that walked through the foyer that day at the Inn of Bethlehem did not desire to draw him. They didn't desire to be drawn. Some didn't know who he was. Some, even if they did, didn't care. As you go out through this Christmas season, Christian, don't forget about your King of Kings. Don't forget about your Lord of Lords. Don't forget about your Prince of Peace, the one that paid for your salvation. Lost one in here tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, don't worry about listening to this long-winded, loud, crazy preacher. But certainly don't let Christmas pass you by. Don't let that birth pass you by. Don't lay off the world. Forget about the world. Forget about what everybody else is trying to tell you. Forget about what the religious crowd wants to do. Forget about all that. Just know what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You don't have to do cartwheels, light candles, twirl beads. You don't have to do a smokestack, light anything. There's nothing you have to do except call upon him. In the foyer that night, I wonder if there was one. I wonder if there was one who realized what that babe was and at that moment called upon him. I wonder if there was one. Later on, it talks about Simeon getting the chance to see him. Can you imagine? Because he knew who Christ was, holding the Lord of Lords in his hands. Tonight, you've got the opportunity to put the Lord of Lords in your heart. And there's going to be a day, folks, when the wonderful, wonderful meeting in the air is going to happen. And I desperately hope that we're all there together. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if you don't accept Christ, you just let Christmas pass you by. You just let that old holy night pass you by. You just let the greatest thing that ever happened for mankind walk right by you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Jesus loves you tonight. He loved you enough to die for you. Don't let him pass you by. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I, again, don't have the words. Lord, we love you. I'm not sure of what else to say. Thank you. Can thank you be enough? Lord, you know my heart. Lord, we need to live for you more. We need to do more for you. Lord, help us. Help us tonight to make Christmas part of our lives, not just part of a year. Lord, help us to understand that you love us so much that you came down to this earth for us. You made a choice. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you did. Now it's our turn to make a choice. Lord, help us to do just that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
May I close? Debbie's playing softly. Before we go home tonight, we'd like to give you an invitation, an opportunity. If you've never asked Christ to come in to your heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior, we don't want you to miss out. We don't want you to miss Christmas, the Christ of Christmas. How many could say with an uplifted hand tonight before we go home, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I know I'd go to heaven. I've asked Christ into my heart. I know I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put him down. Would there be any tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm really not sure. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I promise. Just want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd really like to know, when I die, I'd go to heaven. And I'd like to have that special gift of Christmas that Christ and only Christ can give. I don't want to miss Christmas. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Who else? I'm not sure. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. and I really don't want to miss out on it, pray for me. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Christ to save you and you'd like to do it tonight, you could do it right where you're at right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. My prayer won't save you. But if you'll ask Christ to save you from your heart, he'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'd like to know for sure when you die, you'd go to heaven, and you believe that Jesus was born just for you, and you believe that he died for your sins, and that he arose again that third day according to the scriptures, and you know that he's the only way you can get to heaven, and you want to make him your Savior tonight, you'd like to take God's Christmas gift, you could say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose that third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul from hell and take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus, right now. Amen. No one looking around, just curious. If you just said that prayer, would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you. I won't. Yes, yes. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand. Brother Mark, you're going to sing. We're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to close with Silent Night. We've had two people just trust Christ as Savior in their pews. Now we're going to sing Silent, and this is how we're going to close. But Mark, come and lead us in Silent Night.
Silent Night, oh.
Say.